Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. It's Monday, the 4th of November. It's just gone 5 minutes after 10. You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here on Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and we've got a fantastic show set up for you today. We are chatting with Professor Lucille Bloomberg, who is an infectious disease specialist. And as it's the beginning of, you know, sort of November, and we're going to be leading into the holiday season, we wanted to chat about the diseases that we should be looking out for when we're traveling. A lot of us are going to areas like Kruger, to the Game Reserve, Eastern Transvaal, Northern Transvaal. But there are other areas around our country that we need to be aware of. We'll be chatting about diseases like malaria, tick bite fever, rabies even, and all of these. So let us have your questions for the professor on 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday morning, and you're joining myself, Nicholas Ingle, in studio with our fantastic controller, Craig Guthrie, and our wonderful producer, Sina Pabetsi, who helps get the guests for us and puts everything together. We are chatting with Professor Lucille Bloomberg about all things infectious that we should be looking out for when we travel, when we go away on holiday. You don't really want to be bringing stuff back with you from your holiday other than photos and mementos. So, Professor, welcome to the show. Great to be chatting to you again.
Good morning, Nicholas, and very good to be here. And I think the perfect time to discuss the holidays and health.
Absolutely. I think they say it's traditional that on the 1st of November, they release Mariah Carey into the shopping malls for the Christmas music. So we may, as you know, just the beginning of November, and let's chat about these things that we need to be careful of. And I think also, you know, when I was a kid, sort of traveling in the 70s, it was something you were hypervigilant about because there weren't sort of the treatments that we've had. We may have gotten a little bit lazier with the amount of travel that we can do, but there are some things that we really need to look out for out there when we travel to areas that we're not used to, because I think we almost build an immunity for sort of where we live, if I'm correct, and then going away from food and water and these other things, we can have some really effects that we don't really want. So what should we be looking out for, Professor?
Well, I suppose number one has to be it's malaria season. Mm-hmm. The rains have come to parts of Kruger, and I think the mosquitoes are probably getting ready for the season. So yeah. I think since malaria is the treacherous one, very rapidly progressive, yes, first symptom to complications in less than 3 days, I think we need to chat about malaria as number right. one. So those who are going to malaria areas in the coming season, those would be Lowveld areas in Mpumalanga, very far north of KwaZulu-Natal, parts of Limpopo, and then, of course, across our borders. You know, Mozambique, number one for yes. risk. And then also, you know, Zambia, Zimbabwe, maybe parts of Tanzania, Kenya, other areas. You know, there's a good map on the NICD website. Mm-hmm. Must think about malaria and how to prevent it and how to recognize it and get it speedily diagnosed and treated right. should it occur.
So
let's start there.
Perfect. Yeah. I remember from our last conversation, you were saying the biggest risk with malaria is mistaking it for flu and not getting the treatment that's necessary. So let's talk about the prevention, what we need to do first, maybe yeah. in terms of our medication, and then also physically, and then what to do if we're not feeling so great.
Perfect. You're a very good pupil, Nicholas. You remember the previous lessons.
Absolutely.
And those are key.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think with COVID, I think many people have forgotten about malaria.
Mm.
And, you know, there's still COVID around, and we can come back to that. But prevention of malaria is key. So number one, and people forget this, is preventing mosquito bites. If you're not bitten, you have less chance of getting malaria.
Right.
So it's supplying their bites. It's the female. They require a blood meal, and they feed on you when the sun goes down, particularly in the late evening, just after midnight, until the sun rises. That's the time you need to protect yourself against mosquitoes. And it's the number one prevention tool.
Right.
So get something that contains DEET, not DDT. And you know, don't want to advertise particular brands, but
yes.
You know, Peaceful Sleep or Tabard lotion or spray, I think, is really good. It's available off the shelves.
Yes.
And that should be applied to exposed areas during that time.
Right.
Reapply it if you're going to have a swim or a shower before you sit outside again.
Okay.
And then
it's almost like the sun. Sorry to interrupt. It's almost like the sunblock. We know with sunblock that if we go and swim, you reapply. If you've been sweating a lot, you reapply. So it's not like put it on once and then forget about it.
No, lasts about 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
So there are many preparations on the market. And I say this every time. You know, the nicer they smell, the better the packaging. People think, you know, less toxic and they work better, but they don't.
Right.
So, you know, I think those are the two products that are most effective and apply to exposed areas. You can use it in young children from 2 months of age.
Right.
And you can certainly use it in adults and everybody else.
Okay.
So that's number one. Use nets if you're going to a very high-risk area like Mozambique. Take one with you. Get them from camp shops and dip them into pyrethroid if you can get hold of some. Air conditioning, fans, screens on the windows, light-colored clothing, long pants. I know it's hot. Coils that, you know, kind of that act and get rid of the mosquitoes around you. All of the above, really, really important.
And
then if you're going to a really high-risk area, and we can come back to this, strongly consider taking some medication to prevent malaria.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, certainly for Mozambique. You had a question, Nicholas, before I interrupted.
No, before I interrupted. You know, we're very fortunate today with modern fabrics. For travel, because I'm fortunate enough to get to travel quite a bit, and I take a lot of the quick dry clothing with me. It's very lightweight. You can rinse it out. So there isn't really an excuse not to be wearing long shirts, long pants, even in the heat, because it can really keep you insulated. And I think socks, closed shoes are also quite important. You can look at those areas. But I just wanted to chat about the young kids, and we said from the age of 2. If we compare, because they
might...
Repellent
from 2 months, yeah.
Okay. Where parents are concerned, like, I don't want to be putting chemicals on my child's skin. So, you know, the using these treatments versus, God forbid, contracting malaria for a young child. You know, can we chat about the severities and why we need to be doing this?
There's always this question about should you take young children, those under 5, to a high-risk area? And I think if you're going to a very high-risk area, like middle to northern Mozambique, south is actually reasonably well-controlled malaria program, you may want to reconsider that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going to the Kruger National Park has got some malaria, but relatively low risk, and you should certainly do everything to prevent malaria. So, you know, very young children you can put under a net when the sun goes down, you can apply some insect repellent, certainly from 2 months of age. I would rethink about going to a really high risk area in the under 5s.
Right.
And if you, you know, do have to go, then you should do everything. But young babies, you might want to have a discussion with your pediatrician. A low risk area, put them under a net.
Mm-hmm.
They're not crawling around or running around. You can protect them quite well.
Yes.
And then... you know, they do develop very subtle symptoms, fever, irritability, going off their feeds, much harder to diagnose than in adults who have those headaches and cold shivers and hot sweats. And progression in children is a lot quicker. So I think Kruger National Park is fine. Take all the precautions. You know, think about high-risk areas in children under two, like Mozambique, between mm-hmm. 2 and 5. You can probably also add a drug to prevent malaria.
Right.
And there's some good news there. We'll talk about that.
Fantastic. And I think you mentioned also taking nets with you. And I suppose a wonderful thing to do is when you come back, you can always gift the nets to some of the locals that you've met, because it's a huge, I think that's one of the biggest impacts on people's well-being is the net programs that are out there in Africa. We're supplying nets so people can sleep safely.
Yeah, and this year is a problem. You know, there's this very good spraying program in Mozambique, but there are some local issues at the moment. Spraying program's a little bit delayed. It's an excellent program in the south. And certainly in addition to that spraying, nets would be very useful for the locals to protect themselves.
So you can always take your net and leave your net behind and bring a new one with you when you go. Okay. So should we chat a little bit about then the kids with the good news with medication?
Yes. So I think a high-risk area, and I think outside of the country, certainly Mozambique, in addition to all the mosquito preventive measures, one should add a chemoprophylactic, so that would be a medication that you take to prevent malaria. Mm-hmm. Adult ones are readily available over the counter. Doxycycline, atovaquone, progranol, pharmacists can dispense. And then for some time, we didn't have a pediatric preparation. It was taken off the market, but I believe it's being reintroduced for the season, atovaquone, progranol, pediatric. There was a preparation available on what we call a Section 21, not easily accessible, did have some extra costs, but this will be available in the pharmacy, hopefully within the next month.
Okay.
I don't know that it's been released. It's a pediatric atovaquone progranol, and the trade name, you know, would be available at the pharmacy. Not sure it's in the pharmacies yet.
Yet, okay. We can always check with that and let our listeners know. Next week.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you for joining us this Monday morning. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday here live on Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Singel, and I'm joined by Professor Lucille Bloomberg, an infectious disease specialist. And we're chatting currently about malaria, but we're going to be talking about all things that we really need to be looking out for on our holidays, on our upcoming vacations now in November, December, January. What do we need to be aware of? And also including safe food and water. Let us have your questions for the professor on 061-895-1019. So, Prof, just before we went to ad break, we were chatting about malaria and the new medication that's now becoming available for younger children, and, you know, sort of prevention rather than cure.
Yeah, so to talk about the younger children, it's not really a new medication. Mm. It was one that was available previously through a different supplier.
Ah, okay.
And that, it's the same atovaquone progranol,
right,
but it's a new supplier that has plans to put it into the market.
Okay.
And I think that's that's good news for people traveling with children.
So let's chat about symptoms. If you are feeling sort of a certain way, let's look at adults, kids, and then young kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I believe in patient power. Mm-hmm. So if you develop fever, this is for adults, headache, cold shivers, hot sweats, muscle pain, you think you've got flu, or you think, oh goodness, COVID's back,
mm-hmm.
but you live in a malaria transmission area, or you've traveled recently in the last month, you must have a malaria test. So tell the person, your health provider, that you have traveled. Insist on an urgent malaria test. You know, medical people are busy, not always thinking malaria. There's lots of other things to consider. Insist on a malaria test urgently. Make sure the result is obtained, repeat it if negative, and if positive, treat urgently.
Right.
You cannot wait. An extra day will make the difference between treating uncomplicated malaria, which is actually easy and always almost always successful, an extra day or two, you're in trouble. It's much harder to treat. Excellent drugs for both, but that time delay will result in, you know, cerebral malaria, other complications. You don't want to be there.
Right.
So it's urgent. Don't wait for tomorrow.
Don't wait. Yeah. If you're willing to go to an area, don't wait.
Yeah. Even if it's a low-risk area or you've been on prophylaxis, you must get tested.
Right.
You must get that result.
So if we look,
raise your hand.
Raise your hand. And that's
tell your doctor.
And be an empowered patient. Take responsibility for what you are feeling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then for younger children, teenagers, just under
teenagers are like adults. They may think they've been partying and they're tired from that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. End of matric and they've gone to Mozambique. But it's the same rules. Young children, going off their food, fever is a very consistent finding. Just unwell. Mm-hmm. And they've traveled or they live in a malaria area, must get tested really urgently. The highest risk groups for complications and for them to develop rapidly are young children and pregnant women. And maybe a few, you know, pregnant women should go to Malmesbury or Margate or somewhere locally.
Yes.
Maybe should miss the malaria area this year.
Avoid the malaria areas. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are there sort of any new areas that we need to be concerned of? I remember a couple of years ago, people were worried about the north of Pretoria, you know, the northwest provinces.
Yeah. So we don't have any in Pretoria. Every now and again, we have a little infected mosquito hopping a lift on a minibus from a malaria area. And they bite when they get to their destination, which could be Johannesburg or Pretoria. They're pretty hungry. And then there's no history of travel. So malaria must always be considered in any person with unexplained progressive fever. So important.
Okay.
There have been some cases in the Waterberg area. It's difficult to know. You know, it's a potentially risk area, low risk for transmission. It's difficult to know if those were traveling mosquitoes from a higher risk area or if there's some local transmission. So, you know, I think it's the usual mosquito prevention measures for that area. And just to be aware of fever as the cause of malaria as a cause of fever if people return. It's not somewhere where I would take prophylaxis, just to be aware of it.
Okay.
Not a lot of cases, just, you know, that's Zimbi, that sort of area, just the occasional case.
So I think
think malaria in this country.
Absolutely. If you're not used to, if you don't usually have a fever, if you're not usually getting sick at this time of year, just be aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awareness.
If we chat about sort of before we get to the other infectious diseases that we should be looking out for, let's chat about food and water because I travel quite a bit and I need to be cautious with what I eat with a bit of a gluten intolerance. I'm Jewish, so I've got to watch what I eat. This upsets me, that upsets me. So let's talk about the food and what are the things we need to be looking out for?
Yeah. So, you know, food and travel already go together. It's one of the great joys of traveling, to try something local.
Absolutely.
But it's very hot at the moment. So, you know, food storage can be an issue, just to be aware of that. You know, I think hotels and hospitality industry really try hard to make sure that you have safe food. But if you're going outside of the main areas, think about water.
Mm-hmm.
Johannesburg, we're very lucky. Cape Town, we're very lucky. The main centers have very safe water.
Mm.
But if you're going across any borders, maybe tap water is not the best idea. Ice, mm-hmm. anything with ice in it.
I think that's such an important point,
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to be very cautious with ice because it's water.
Yeah. And then, you know, just think about where you're eating.
Mm.
I think, a hotel, a restaurant that has a big turnover probably has very little, you know, food issues, safety issues. But, you know, just I think just be aware of food that's kept out and put on a buffet table for a long time,
right,
with a little flame burning underneath, is not my best to go to.
Okay.
So, yeah. But mostly, I think the standards are pretty high in our restaurants and hotels. And I do eat sometimes from the side of the road, but there must be a good queue there.
Yes,
and
locals.
A popular store.
Yeah, if you're seeing the locals there, you know. Yeah,
I'm quite happy, and heated food.
Yes,
you know, something cooked over the fire is good.
Yeah, and if it's fresh.
Yeah, I'm quite a adventurous eater in terms of that.
Yes,
I'm quite picky at what I eat. Yeah,
you know, we had some incidents last year with the load shedding, where some of the malls, the smaller malls, they didn't have the generators to run at night. The cold storage was suffering, and some people got very, very ill eating in even some of the bigger chain restaurants. So we just, as you said, patient power, take responsibility.
Take responsibility. Be reasonable.
Yeah.
And still have fun and enjoy your time out.
100%. What else? What are some of the other diseases that we should be looking at? Should we touch on COVID first? We did mention that.
Let's touch on COVID. You know, COVID is going to continue to circulate for the foreseeable future. Mm. There are cases now. Many people are not getting tested. They have one or two days of, you know, slight snuffy nose, sore throat, who knows? But it's circulating and it's mild. I think the most important message is don't confuse malaria with influenza and COVID and go, oh, I'm sure I've got COVID again. I'm not going to go to the doctor. Oh, it could be flu. You know, if you've traveled, live in a malaria area, you must get tested for malaria.
Yes.
Don't attribute anything to COVID or influenza. That's a big mistake, a life-threatening mistake sometimes.
Yes.
And then tick bite fever is, ticks are quite busy at this time of the year. If you walk in a felt, do a little tick inspection when you come back. Some of them are really small. Apply some of that Tavard to the areas that you may expose to ticks before you go out there. Put some long socks on and look for ticks. It's an intense headache, nightmares. Often a painful lymph node, often in the groin, and then you find a black scab, and that would suggest tick bite fever. Overlapping symptoms with malaria, but doxycycline is the treatment of choice.
Right.
And many people say, oh, worst headache I've ever had, and I had nightmares when you ask them. So just think about tick bite, and that's everywhere. Okay. It's not just in a malaria area. It's even in Johannesburg from your own dogs.
Wow.
So tick bite is very common. I think that needs to be remembered. And then depending on where you're traveling, people go into Southeast Asia, dengue is important, mosquito-transmitted infection, daytime biting mosquitoes late afternoon, get headache, get fever, muscle pain, and then they get a rash that looks like intense sunburn.
Right.
Generally get better, and that's not uncommon, and mostly mild.
Okay.
So, you know, those are the important ones for this time of the year.
I know many people have come back from Thailand and Southeast Asia with some very weird, some very serious disorders. And we need to, one sitting on in infected dog feces accidentally on the beach and getting
a boring
worm into their, you know.
Oh, yes, we've seen those. And if you're doing the washing, you're out there, don't put it on the ground. You know, the little fly, that mango fly, may come and plant its eggs.
Right.
And when, sounds awful, when you put the child's nappy back on, the eggs hatch and the little larvae burrow in. And I think many people are familiar with those putsy flies or mango flies. Easy to treat. Get this little lesion and little black thing, just put a bit of Vaseline on.
Right.
But, you know, just be careful about
just
your
be
washing.
Careful. Okay.
You're going to see some of those.
Absolutely. So let us have your questions for Professor Lucille Ball, 0618951019, on our WhatsApp number. The one thing you mentioned, Prof, just that we spoke
Brady.
About. We're saying that terrifies me because I couldn't imagine being more crazy. And no. let's chat about rabies. Sort of what is rabies?
Yeah.
What do we need to watch out for?
Yeah. So rabies occurs throughout Africa, parts of Southeast Asia. It's a virus transmitted usually by dogs to people because they have the most contact with dogs, humans and dog interactions. It's transmitted through a bite in the saliva of the dog. And if you have a break in the skin, it can be transmitted from a rabid animal. Not all animals that bite you are rabid. Some are just protecting their territory because you are in the wrong place. So don't approach strange animals. Keep your children away from animals they don't know. And if you or someone in your family or friend gets bitten by a dog, a cat, a jackal, any mammal that bites for no reason, okay, no reason, and looks unwell, you need to seek care. Wash the wound and then go and seek medical care. You can give an injection into the wound and vaccinations that will protect against rabies. It's a fatal disease. But something new in the past year is rabies in seals in Cape Town, the Western Cape, right from the Namibian coast right up to Clayton Bay. This is unprecedented. Probably been around since 2022. We're seeing rabies in seals. So this is not the seal that nibbles you when you are surfing or swimming, and your leg goes out, and the seal will nibble you because your leg's in the wrong place. These are seals that are behaving really strangely. You've seen videos.
Yes,
They
absolutely.
chase
Yes.
people. They're crazy, and they inflict really severe injuries. So, again, if this happens to you, make sure you wash the wound and go and seek care, and you must get what we call post-exposure prevention. Don't approach seals. Keep your dogs away from seals on the beach. Keep your children away from seals. If a seal is washed up, don't go and, touch it and prod it and
Yes.
whatever. Keep away. I mean, that's a message that's very, very clear. We've had
Right.
no human cases, but that's not what we want. And I
Absolutely.
think if you're going to do diving or, it's going to be a lot of water sports, you might want to consider being vaccinated before you go. It's two rabies vaccines. And
Okay.
then you don't need all that post-exposure prevention.
That's
But just
such
think about it.
okay.
Monkeys, not a risk. We haven't had monkey rabies,
Yes.
but keep your children away,
Keep them away.
and every incident needs to be assessed.
That's, so I want to touch on the sort of the pre-treatment for rabies as soon as we're back from these ads. And ladies and gentlemen, let us have your questions on 0618951019 for the professor. We have a few which I'll go through as well after this ad break. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and it's 10:40 a.m., the 4th of November. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here live on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle and I'm chatting with Professor Lucille Bloomberg, an infectious disease specialist. And we've been chatting what to look out for in terms of infectious diseases when we travel, and our holiday season is approaching. So this is really just to keep you informed about what you should look out for if you're not feeling well, what you should do, and what are the risks we are facing. Professor, before we went to the break, we were chatting about the pre-rabies shot. So just to share a quick story, I was down at the Costa Cup about a week or two ago and gallivanting around on the rocks in Hermanus. I love that part of the world. And surprised the daylights out of a baby seal, which surprised the daylights out of me. So that was very, a very, very close encounter. So if we are doing these things, we want to look at preventative maintenance, what is the process of the rabies sort of, or vaccine, if that's the correct word?
So it's not for everybody going to the coast.
Yeah.
Just lunatics like me. For the most part, it's safe. These incidents are not common. Mm-hmm. And the message is don't approach an animal. So keep your distance, Nicholas.
I did. Very quickly.
If there's a seal on the beach, don't go and look and don't prod it. Keep your children and your dogs and you away.
Right.
If you are going to do scuba diving, you're going to do the Iron Man maybe early in the new year, there are the same rules apply, but you can get pre-exposure prevention. So that's two doses of vaccine, day naught and day seven. There's different ways of giving them. If you want to save some money and some doses, you can share a vial and give it in a different way. But it's two doses before you go. And what that does is it takes away that need for post-exposure, urgent, you know, really urgent prevention. Mm. And the need for what we call rabies immunoglobulin, which gets infiltrated into the wound to act immediately. You don't need that. And right. That's the hard part of the prevention equation after you've been bitten. So it's not for everybody. I think, you know, if you are doing seal research, which you aren't.
No.
If you're going to be an Ironman contestant, which I don't know that you are.
No.
But you're going to do lots of scuba diving. It's something to consider.
Okay.
But really, the message is keep away from seals on the beach. Keep your dogs away.
Right. And I think also if you are going to be traveling to these areas and you're looking at swimming or surfing or scuba diving or climbing, maybe get in touch with the locals and find out, you know, so the local hospitals and so on, have there been rabid seal incidents? You know, is there something that you should be, and then maybe make that decision, an empowered patient.
And the most common exposure to rabid animals is to dogs.
To dogs.
So don't pick up that dog at the side of the road because you think it needs rescuing.
Yes.
I mean, that's not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all. So we have a question or a comment from our listener, Carol Kay. She says, please ask if it's fine to plug in those Mozzie goodies, I think the pads, that also repel mosquitoes. I find it works well. I plug it in at around 4 p.m. And that's from Carol.
So that's fine. There are some that just irritate the mosquitoes, some that kind of, you know, repel them. But it's not enough in a high-risk area on its own. And really the high-risk areas are Mozambique, particularly from middle to north.
Right.
You need more of them.
Yes.
Yeah. So do all these additional things. Take the citronella soap. But on its own, it is not enough. Yeah.
Right.
It smells lovely.
It smells lovely. And I think also having a fan and moving air, as you mentioned, air conditioning, have the swivel on. So just disruptive air for these little guys.
Okay. And, you know, the Kruger is a relatively low-risk area, but it's not a no-risk area. And there have been good rains.
Right.
So in some of the camps. So I think it's that awareness, especially when you come back. It's not COVID. It's not flu. It doesn't require antibiotics before you do a test.
Yes.
You must have a malaria test. Number one, patient power.
Yeah, patient power. Ask for your test. Insist on your test. Absolutely. Is there anything else that we really should be looking out for?
Look, you know, there are other diseases. Cholera is something we do see in the new year. There's cholera in parts of Mozambique. It's in many parts of Africa. It's about the safe water that I think we spoke about.
Right.
And just seeking urgent attention if you've got diarrhea that seems a bit more than usual. It's about safe water.
Yes.
But, you know, it's an exciting time of the year. We need to encourage people to travel. The economy needs you.
Yep.
And you need that break. But take all the precautions.
So
you can be safe.
Absolutely. The safest food to eat is still cheesecake, right?
Baked cheesecake.
Absolutely.
Been stored properly.
that's been stored properly. These are some of our favorites. Absolutely. I think sort of within families, you need to be able to chat about this to educate. How do people educate their kids in terms of the malaria prevention? Is it something that the parents should be, you know, you don't want to be forcing it on your children, and you don't want to be scaring them in terms of putting on the tabard and that. What would you suggest is a good way to approach this, particularly with younger kids?
Yeah, so it's your responsibility to protect them. It's Absolutely. Not the child. Wouldn't take babies to really high-risk areas like Mozambique. But make it a game, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, everyone lines up for their tabard application, and they learn about the screens and the nets if they're going to high-risk areas, and then about the prophylaxis if it's a child. You know, the medication for children is a daily dose. So it's a tobacone progranal, day before you go, daily while you're there, and daily when you come back. Very few side effects. You know, you are kind of, you know, taking any potential minor side effects generally against the risk of a potentially severe disease.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the balance. And then I think the important thing to children is the animal message. Don't go near animals that you don't know. Don't offer food to animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a monkey, it's probably not going to be rabid. But then you get a monkey that wants your food, will bite your child, and then everybody's panicking.
Right.
No rabies risk if it's a vervet, for the most part. Never say never.
Yes.
But then you have a situation where you don't know what you're going to do, and should you come home, and there's a whole panic. So it's really about children behavior around animals, responsible. But everybody must be part of the prevention.
Right.
So do it as a family. Yeah, do it as a group.
And
be safe.
And be safe. And having been bitten by a monkey as a child at the World of Birds in Hout Bay, and then having to have the treatment, it was not fun getting medical treatment, you know, while you're in shock and you're upset and you're in pain.
Yeah.
And that,
So there's no risk from the monkeys at Bird World.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the most part, no risk from vervets.
Now, there's probably a risk for the monkey after biting me, but.
Well, don't have to think, oh, is it a risk? What should I do?
Yeah.
It's not a rabies risk, but, you know, responsible behavior.
Yes.
That's reasonable.
And the staff were great. I mean, straight to, there's the doctor, there's the address, off you go.
Yeah.
I think I had an anti-tetanus wash.
You probably didn't need it.
Yeah.
You should have avoided that monkey, Nicholas.
I should have avoided the monkey, absolutely. So
we've never had rabies in a vervet.
Okay.
But we have lots of bites, lots of calls, and there's always a bit of
a bit of worry. So probably we're going to go to another live read and ad break. And then when we're back, I'd just like to wrap up and sort of get your thoughts as we finish.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday live here on 101.9 High FM. I've had the honor of chatting with the fantastic Professor Lucille Bloomberg. Prof, it's always wonderful chatting to you. And the message that I always get from our conversations, which not only with regards to infectious diseases, but with everything to do with my health, be an empowered patient. Take responsibility, step up. If you're not feeling well, understand, hey, I've been away, let me go and do this. A malaria test, if you're not malaria positive, is going to have no impact on your life in the long run. But if you are, it's going to have a profound impact when you find out within time. So I just wanted to ask you, firstly, thank you so much for joining us. What would you like to share as we sort of wrap up the show?
Thanks very much, Nicholas. Always a pleasure. So prevention is always better than cure. A reminder that you spoke about empowered travelers. Just remember about being up to date with the childhood vaccinations for all your children. If you're an adventure traveler, remember to have your boosters for tetanus, you know, every 5 to 10 years, going mountain climbing or out there in the countryside. Something we often forget about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, prevention, and let's not have malaria mortality this year or severe cases. And I think The tools are out there. It's up to you to apply them. And travel. It's one of the great pleasures in life.
And it's a wonderful way to broaden your view of the world, to develop understanding and empathy and compassion for other groups and other people. It really is the most wonderful gift. You know, I spent nearly 20 years sitting on a bar stool when I was drinking, wondering why my life wasn't going anywhere. It's because I wasn't going anywhere. So maybe there's go, get out there, travel, but be responsible, be an empowered patient. And you have the right to say to your doctor, with all due respect to the doctors out there who we love, I want this malaria test.
Exactly. And support the local economies and people in hospitality. Who've been hard hits in the past years and are really doing everything to make your travel wonderful. Absolutely. So support them.
Support the locals, absolutely. Thank you so much, Professor. We greatly appreciate having you on the show again. Your time and the incredible knowledge that you've shared with our listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Okay. You've been listening to 101.9 High FM. It was the DiskM Medical Monday Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Ingle. Big thank you to our controller, Craig, and to my amazing producer, Sina. Thank you for joining us. I look forward to seeing you or chatting with you next week.